Greetings and peace in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and welcome to Sound Doctrine, a radio ministry committed to preaching, teaching, and reaching. We are resuming our sermon today in Philippians chapter 2. We are looking at verses 1 through 5, and we are continuing from where we started here in chapter 1 in Philippians, verse 25, and we have continued to follow the Apostle Paul's words to the saints at Philippi, and now we find ourselves in chapter 2, looking again at verse 1, and we're focusing on what the Apostle Paul is communicating after he finishes up chapter 1, and he is focusing now on how the believers are to live. That is, what they are to demonstrate in the midst of their circumstances, what they are to be. And this is something that applies not just to the saints at Philippi, but this is for the people of God, all who have faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ are called to this very thing. That is, not just to believe on Christ, but also to suffer for his sake. And this is the conflict that the Apostle Paul is highlighting at the end of chapter 1 in Philippians, where he says, having the same conflict which ye saw in me and now hear to be in me. And that is from the King James Version. So we find that as we have moved into chapter 2 here in Philippians, we find that it is coming on the tail end of what the Apostle Paul communicates here in chapter 1. So he's dealing with this suffering for the sake of Christ as a result of our faith in Christ, but also this conflict that is a common conflict for the people of God, that is those who follow Christ, those who have faith in the gospel and are called to suffer for the sake of Christ. This is the conflict. This is not conflict as if there's a decision to be made here, like you are conflicted in what you believe, but it is the conflict which really highlights more of the struggle and the perseverance that we have been called to in Christ. And this conflict has to do, more so with the reality that we are in a contest. We are in contention. That's why we are called to earnestly contend for the faith. And this contest wherein we strive is a contest of victory, and yet it is a contest of struggle nonetheless. And so we commit ourselves to the faith, and committing ourselves to the faith is then a matter of striving together and enduring, persevering in this contest, in this conflict, as the Apostle Paul communicates, the suffering that comes with our faith in Christ. So the Apostle Paul highlights this at the end of chapter 1, and this is where we find ourselves here in chapter 2, continuing to follow the apostle's words, where he again speaks of in this manner, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies. So he is laying this out then as we find or we deal with the reality of suffering and conflict, and the Apostle Paul then focuses on his situation again, which you saw in me and now here to be in me. So he is really now focusing on, okay, again, here is my expectation and here is what will encourage me. And that's what we're going to follow as we, again, revisit his words here in Philippians chapter 2. So we talked about this already in verse 1, where the Apostle Paul is speaking of the nearness or the encouragement that we have in Christ, right? This comfort that is also highlighted in terms of love or affection. So we have this comfort and this encouragement in Christ, this call to be near Christ, to be near in Christ, the call to Christ, which we all have as believers. So this is what he's saying now. This is what we have in common, and we must understand how important this is. This is not a call for a select group of Christians. This is a call for all Christians, all believers. And in this case, Paul is speaking specifically, again, to the saints in Philippi, to the Christians in Philippi. So when he speaks of this, he is highlighting if this is the case, and as I said before, really, since this is the case, that we have this consolation in Christ, we have this comfort of love, that is the affection that we have, if any fellowship of the Spirit, okay, again, this is the communion or the partnership or the participation that we have together in the Spirit, or according to the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies. This points again to our inward affection, our deep affection, and our sympathy and our pity, our consideration. You know, and this is what we are called to, this compassion that we have. All of this is in Christ. All of this is in Christ. And this is what the Apostle Paul is highlighting, but he is highlighting this again in relation to what he is experiencing in terms of the conflict and suffering. And so he is calling upon the saints in Philippi to exercise or give evidence of what they already have in Christ. And what is the purpose of this? Why is the Apostle Paul highlighting this? He says, if we have these in Christ, if this or these exist in Christ, the consolation or encouragement and comfort, the love, the comfort of love, the fellowship of the Spirit, the bowels and mercies, again, the compassions, the affections and sympathy or pity, all of these we have in Christ. So he's saying, if this is what we have in Christ, then fulfill my joy. And this is not a selfish request. This is a request that says, listen, I need to be encouraged by you. And this encouragement that I desire is not manufactured by man, but it is experienced in Christ. And so since we have this common faith, since we share this faith, my expectation is according to the faith that we share despite the suffering and conflict. And this is what he calls upon the saints in Philippi to demonstrate in order that Paul can experience the joy that comes with this evidence. And this is all he's asking for. He's saying, fulfill my joy. Level it up. Satisfy my joy. Make my joy complete. Fill up my joy. And we oftentimes try to figure out how to make somebody happy or how to make somebody cheerful. You know, we think of, about how to cheer somebody up. I'm sure that to some degree we've all experienced either cheering someone up or having someone cheer us up. We have a saying, you know, you're a sight for sore eyes. You are a sight for sore eyes. And we understand that this is a term that communicates how someone can cheer us up by us just seeing them. And what the Apostle Paul is calling upon the saints at Philippi to do for him, to cheer him up, is to give evidence from a distance, to give evidence by word according to how they are actually living according to faith in Christ, faith in the gospel, enduring the suffering, and persevering through the conflict or the contention. This contest, they are prevailing, but they are not prevailing with weapons formed by man. They are prevailing according to all that they have, all that the Apostle Paul has, all that we have as believers in Jesus Christ. And this is what cheers Paul up. So he's saying, if you want to cheer me up, if you want to fulfill my joy, as it is translated, he's saying, demonstrate all that we have in Christ. All that you have, all that you are, all that you've been called to in Christ. It's about love and fellowship and deep affection and compassion and sympathy and pity toward one another. This is not a casual relationship. This is a deep relationship. This is a lifetime commitment to one another, inasmuch as Jesus has given us a lifetime commitment as our Lord and Savior. Love for a lifetime, eternity. It tells us in John's account of Jesus' ministry that he loved his own unto the end. And this is the blessing. This is what he demonstrates. It's a lifelong relationship. Jesus is not looking for those who won't abide in his love. And that's what he tells us. We must abide in the love of Christ. And that means that we are called to love one another in Christ. That means that if we have fellowship with God our Father and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we have fellowship with one another. You find that in 1 John chapter 1, speaking of the fellowship and the love that we share in Christ, the joy that we have as a result of this fellowship. And Paul is saying, make my joy complete, cheer me up, make me glad by demonstrating this, demonstrating all that we have in Jesus. That's how you can make the Apostle Paul glad. That's how you can cheer him up. That's how you can fulfill his joy. Why? Because of the work that he has done in sharing the gospel with them. The labor, the sacrifice. This is what it's about. We talk about payday someday in relation to our rewards in Christ. But there is something to be said about the satisfaction, about the cheer, about the joy that we experience as a result of the labor that we demonstrate for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the quid pro quo, if you will, the payback, the you doing for me according as I have done for you, is not a payoff in terms of dollars and cents, although some pastors would have you to think that. The payoff is demonstrating, living, and showing for all, but especially for those who labor for the sake of the gospel, demonstrating all that we are, all that we have, all that we've been called to in Jesus. That's the payoff. That's what makes us glad and cheerful. That's what the Apostle Paul says would make his joy complete. And then he expounds upon this in the second verse of Philippians chapter 2, where he says that ye be like-minded. And this is to say that you exercise your mind on the same things, or you have the same interests. And I don't mean casual interests like I like to go fishing, so you like to go fishing. I like to play basketball, so you. No, those are outside interests. He's saying as it relates to who we are in Jesus, everything has to do with who we are and what we have and how we live in Jesus Christ. That's why this sermon is called A Christian State of Mind. It has to do with how we think and therefore how we live. That's what the Christian state of mind is about. The Christian state of mind is all about our condition, our mental condition, our thoughts, the condition of our mind, and how the condition of our minds affects the way that we live and the way that we react to the adversities, the conflict, the suffering that we experience in this life. The scripture reminds us, and the Apostle Paul reminds us here, that we still have all that we have received in Christ, no matter our circumstances, no matter the suffering, no matter the conflict, we still have the consolation, the encouragement, the comfort of love, the fellowship in the Spirit, the deep affection, the inward affection, compassion, pity, and sympathy. We have this. We've been called to this with one another in Jesus. That's how we get through. That's how we encourage one another. That's how we fill up the joy that the Apostle Paul speaks of here. And he expounds on it, as I was saying, in that he says that you be like-minded, that is thinking on the same things. The interest is in what Christ has called us to. We set our affections on being collectively all that God has called us to in Christ. That's where our minds are. That's where our minds are what our minds are preoccupied with. That's what we are mentally disposed to. This is where our interest is. So it is having the same interest in that regard. We are exercising our mind on the very things that Jesus has called us to. And this is what he's saying. That you be like-minded, having the same love. Again, not a different kind of love. This comfort of love that the Apostle Paul speaks of in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 is again highlighted as the same love in Philippians chapter 2, verse 2. Having the same love. This love that we share, this love that we possess, is not a foreign love for the Christian. It is the same love. It's the same affection. We have been called to the same affection. When it comes to Christianity, when it comes to who we are and what we have in Jesus, there is not a different kind of love for a different looking Christian. And so this love is identified as the same love. We hold, we possess, we express the same affection, the same love. And we are of one accord. This is what the Apostle Paul says to them. That is to be co-minded or like-minded, co-spirited. We have the same sentiment. We feel the same way. And so we identify as one, although we are diverse, and that's why the scripture reminds us that we are one body in Christ, although we are many members. We have been baptized into one spirit. We have been baptized by one spirit. into this body of Jesus Christ. And so we realize that this is who we are, and this is what the Apostle Paul is highlighting here specifically for the believers in Philippi concerning himself and how he wants to be cheered up by their Christian state of mind. Having the same love, being of one accord, again, being co-spirited and like-minded, and he goes on to say, of one mind. And this word recurs here for one mind. That again points to having the same interest, exercising the mind in the same thing, being disposed to the same thing, setting your affections on the same thing, caring for the same thing, thinking on the same things. And this is again going to be reinforced in this letter when Paul tells them what things to think on. And this is how we are again reminded of what it really means to have faith and to be a collective one and to have a Christian state of mind as is spelled out or described in this portion of Scripture in particular. So as we consider again the words that the Apostle Paul continues to express, now he moves from what he desires or what they are to demonstrate to what they are not to demonstrate. So he moves from the consolation in Christ, the comfort of love here in verse 1, the fellowship of the Spirit, bows and mercies, speaking of fulfilling his joy in verse 2 in Philippians chapter 2, being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And now he goes to what they are not to do, where he says in verse 3, he says, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. So this is not even one thing. Don't let anything be done through strife or vain glory. So what is he communicating here? What is it that he's really highlighting when he speaks of this? He's speaking, first of all, in terms of the contrast to the Christian state of mind. Strife and vainglory, we should not blame the things that lead to this or this mindset. We should not attribute that to being a child of God. We should not attribute that to the Christian state of mind, because it isn't the Christian state of mind. It is contrary to the Christian state of mind. And yet the church seems to now recognize this as the normal way of life among those who claim to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, we love strife and vainglory. And yet the Apostle Paul says here in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, let nothing be done through strife and vainglory. This is the contention or the factions that exist. This is how you get strife or empty glory, self-conceit. It's worthless. That's what empty glorying is. It is glorying without legitimacy. It is glory that is not valid. And no glorying is valid when we are in Christ if the glorying or the boasting is not about Christ himself or the work of Christ in the life of the believer. This is all about what it means to have a Christian state of mind. And in this case, the Apostle Paul is highlighting, hey, fulfill my joy by demonstrating this, and also by not letting this take place. Again, strife and vainglory, contention and self-conceit, thinking more of yourself than you ought to, and insisting that others see you the same way. Worthless glory, empty glory. And then he gives the contrast. In other words, it's saying, but in lowliness of mind, that is humiliation of mind, to humble your mind, to lower your mind, okay, which is hard to do because we like to think so much of ourselves. It is to demonstrate modesty, humbleness of mind. The word is related to the same word that has been used for mind here in this second chapter. But in this case, now it's saying it speaks of humiliation of the mind. That is the lowering of the mind, to be humiliated. But to be humiliated in your thinking, to lower your thinking, and that is to say, and lowliness of mind applies to how you think about you. But he goes on to say, let each esteem other better than themselves. This is how you think about others. So we move from this contention and this empty glorying and self-conceit to the contrary mindset, which is humiliation of mind. That is lowering your thinking of you, although we really reinforce and emphasize self-esteem. He's saying lower your esteem of you and consider others as better than yourself. And he says this to the group, pertaining to the group. So he's saying this for believers. He's telling the believers. Now, mind you, Paul is saying, this is how you fulfill my joy. This is how you cheer me up. This is how you make me glad. And it's so contrary to the way that we think. This is contrary to our natural inclination. You're telling me that this is how I can cheer you up? This is how I can make you joyful? This is how I can complete your joy? You know what the modern day Christian says? No thanks to that. I like my vainglory. I like being conceited about me. I like boasting on me rather than boasting on Jesus. And I like thinking more of myself and less about others, or less of others. We devalue people so easily. And unfortunately, this is pervasive in the modern day church. And yet the Apostle Paul says, if you want to cheer me up, if you want to make me glad, be of one accord, of one mind, one love, like-minded, thinking on the same things and in the same way, which means don't let anything be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, humiliation of mind, consider others, deem others, account others, esteem others, think of others or one another above yourselves as excelling you. And this is what he's saying about a mutual relationship. And this is a mutual act. So he's saying that we are to have this mindset toward one another. And this is what the Lord Jesus reminds us of when he speaks of loving one another, our love for one another. It's a mutual love. And in this case, this is a mutual understanding or a commitment to one another that we will think more of each other. So it is mutual. It's not to be lopsided or one-sided. It is to be mutual. We're going to stop here today, and Lord willing, we will resume the sermon again next week. And in the meantime, remember to tell somebody how sweet it is to trust in Jesus. God bless you.